You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG.
Yeah, baby, thanks so much for listening to the Cooligans. In the first segment, we talk about a lot of stuff that happened. We played in a game. I ate a sandwich during the game. I almost choked during the game. Christian says I'm amazing at soccer, plus a bunch of other stuff.
In the second segment, we're talking about CCL. We're talking about some of the MLS matches. We're talking about giving up leads. And we're talking about Alexis's new, not new boyfriend, just very, you know, just a good relationship that I think is working out well.
Also, at some point, we talk about rubbing animal fat on each other. Listen to that and more on this episode of the Cooligans!
Hi, folks. This is Tommy Smith with Hawaii, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby.
Hello. What's up?
Come on.
What's up? What's good? Hey, yo. What's good, ma?
Yo. Hey, yo, you.
Hey, yo, ma. Yo, we're trying to start the show by catcalling the listeners.
We're catcalling the listeners. And to be honest, you can't get mad at us because you don't know who we're catcalling.
Okay, but you know what? I know you look good.
I know. That's what I know. You think it's you. It might be Jay Riddle we're talking to right now. It might be Igor.
Yeah, you know, both of them. Both of them quite thick with two C's.
T-H-I-C-C. You never know who it is.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans, your favorite soccer podcast, hosted by two comedians that are also quite what? What are we, Alexis?
I mean, we might just be the gulliest soccer podcast in the planet.
That's right. We're stoked. We're excited. My name is Christian.
Yeah, my name is Alexis.
And we have to start the show immediately by showing some gratitude because the quest for 100 has finally.
Hunted has checked in to work.
We finally reached our 100th review on iTunes. It's interesting because some people have Android phones, and some people have come up to me and said, "You know what? I really want to leave a review, but you don't on Android. There's no, you know, it's not the iTunes store.
You can't do it.
You can't do it." And look, first off, to those people who have an Android phone and were never able to leave us a review,
right?
All I can say is you can apologize to us.
You can
by just giving us, maybe just give us money instead of a review.
You could give us straight cash.
Straight up cash will be a decent alternative to that iTunes review.
Show us your condolences by giving us cash. And we get to put it in our pocket. None of it goes to Hackensack Meridian Health here at the Hackensack Meridian Health Stage 17. It goes right into our board. See ya.
That's right. So we're very grateful that even happened. I mean, we were trying to get there. We're trying to climb up those iTunes rankings so more people know.
It was a beautiful thing. And I also want everyone to know with an Android, I think you could leave us a review on the Google Play, right? I mean, they have
I don't even know. That's your line.
We're there.
I don't know if there's like a way to leave a review.
There's got to be a way to leave a review. The other thing you could do is love yourself a little more. You know what I mean? Just go out and get that iPhone.
Become one of us.
Come on.
Become one of the bots.
What do you have on Android that you don't have here? Confusing widgets? Come on, get over here.
The person who was our 100th review was coincidentally a new listener.
Listened to us one episode.
One episode.
Had to leave the review.
So people listening right now, no excuse.
You're like on your 100th episode, no review.
So,
old girl, one episode.
She's like, you know what? I got to do the right thing.
She starts tippity-tappity-tippity-tappity-tap-tap-tap, leaving a review. And what are you doing? Just sitting there enjoying all this laughter and doing nothing about it.
So,
come on.
Absolutely. A huge shout-out to an LAFC fan. Look at that.
We have first season. First game. First episode.
An expansion listener.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. We did not acquire this listener with Tam.
Okay? They had to pay $150 million just to listen to this podcast.
Which is quite a commitment. I mean, some of you just walked in here willingly for free.
So a huge shout-out to Nelba Valeria Tapia.
Tapia. Not about Tapia.
And I assume she's from Los Angeles, or she's an LAFC fan, but I don't know for 100%.
She's clearly from, I think, the California area. So.
Yeah, so at Finding Nebula, hit her up. Be like, yo, you're the best Cooligan listener for being number 100.
Number 100.
She's the first. So, you know, I think other listeners are going to be offended that I even suggested that she's the best listener just because she's the 100th reviewer.
If you're that offended, create another email. An iTunes account and leave another review.
That is the best way to handle that.
I think that's the only way.
But thank you, Neville. Thank you so much for doing that. We appreciate that a lot.
Thank you so much. And thank you for listening. You know, look, you know, we don't claim to be the smartest people in soccer or ever. but what we do claim is to be able to make you laugh. And that's what we try to do on this podcast.
That's right.
So hopefully you laugh, you listen a little bit about soccer, and you're like, oh, man, I can't believe I enjoyed soccer content in America. That's never happened before.
No one's ever said such words. So, look, second week in MLS, also CCL has been insane. We're used to taking some serious L's.
We walk around after CCL, capital L on that one normally, and we're just like, I'm sorry, we're trying. is coming.
We're doing our best. I mean, don't know. Look, we're out here. They speak a different language. I can't even tell the other players to stop scoring so much on us.
We're wearing tool belts. We got herramientas. We're just trying to. We're like, we're working on it. We're fixing things. Bing, bang, bang, bang. We're knocking on stuff. We're always apologizing for our league this year. I am running around like, nah, son, here we are.
America all day. We're doing it.
I walked into Lombardi's Pizzeria. I walked straight to the back. All my homies that are Mexican back there. And I'm like, aquí viene el gringo. And they were all mad. And they're like, oh, 3 games at home in the U.S. And I go, no. One of them was in Mexico.
Yeah, in Tijuana. You know what I hate the most about the Rebels playing Tijuana, playing the Cholos? I hate that. For whatever reason, people pronounce Tijuana Tijuana, which is not what they're just asking.
Tijuana is a woman named Juana.
That's my
who
aunt.
Who's your Tia?
That's my aunt Juana. Yeah.
That is not the name of the city.
So I don't.
It's Tijuana, if you want it, not Tijuana.
Tijuana, which I don't know. I don't know why that's a popular thing.
I don't know. I think it's because, like, in LA, they have that area called Los Feliz, which means the happy ones.
Yeah.
And if you've been there, it's not. They're very highly medicated by the therapists. They're all bankers' children now. It used to be Latinos. Latinos used to live there. The neighborhood was called Los Feliz. They don't call it that.
No, they call
it. They get mad if you call it that. They call it Los Feliz.
Los Feliz. Oh, boy.
Los Feliz are someone speaking Spanglish pointing at shoes made by Fila. That is not.
Yeah,
how
I would know. I know
that.
Exactly. What I'm, yeah, the Grand Hills. Yeah, I got those.
Yeah, I had them day one. Are you kidding me? It's very confusing, and it's definitely not Tijuana.
Yeah. So, look, we'll talk about the games in a moment. I'm rocking the Cibao FC jersey that I got
for the culture
in Dominican Republic. In the second leg against Guadalajara. The first game, it was 2-0 that Cibao FC lost. In the second game, in Guadalajara, they only lost 5-0.
Which, that's a win.
Which, that's a win. That's a victory.
What was the line on that? You know, 13? So
I made 42,000 pesos on betting on that game. So I have.
Where are you going to spend those 38 cents? Where?
Who knows? Going to go crazy. So. Let's talk about before the games, the CCL games. Let's talk about some huge news.
Big.
From Major League Soccer and from Liga MX. This is probably a thing that's been long overdue.
Yeah, it also feels now that this has been mentioned, you look back at a few things that have happened, you're like,
okay, it all.
This all the pieces starting to fit together. This is like when you watch Kaiser Soze walk out of the
police
department.
Like, and then they flash back, and Night Shyamalan Sixth Sense. You're like, oh, I missed all the clues.
Come on. Yeah, what is it? A cappella group in Skokie, Illinois? What was it? You know? A barbershop quartet in Skokie, Illinois, and the cup says Skokie, Illinois in it. Remember that?
Yes.
That moment, that's exactly what's happening. And I'm talking about you, Landon Donovan. Major League Soccer has announced a partnership with Liga MX.
Yeah.
An unprecedented partnership, says Don Garber. Together, we have a vision to elevate the popularity of our game to even higher levels in North America. We're excited to have the MLS champion take on Liga MX's top club in the Campeones Cup this year.
That's right. That, well, not campeones.
Campeones. Campeones.
Yeah. This is huge because this is a common thing in what, like in Spain, they have is it the Supercopa where the Copa del Rey champion plays against the La Liga champion?
And Community Shield.
Community Shield.
FA versus
so
League.
This is like a thing that should, another tournament, another game that will add some notoriety.
Another game for Mexican team to lose.
Look, if the trend keeps going as it is.
You'll never win again.
There's not,
home, away, it doesn't matter where we put the game.
Neutral site, you're just, it's always going to be.
But if we can play it on a cruise boat, you're going to lose. You know what I mean?
So this is super exciting. So we know Toronto is going to be playing in this game. This game is going to be held September 19th at BMO Field.
Yeah.
And we're waiting on the champion of like the Clausura, right?
Yeah. They're going to have their own game between the Apertura and Clausura.
And the winner of that gets the privilege.
The privilege of meeting Sebastian Giovinco as he buzzes a free kick right past your goalkeeper. Sorry, San Mexico. I love you. Y'all my people.
So
going down.
This is great. I want to go to this game, but the problem for me, I'm like, I don't want to go to BMO Field again. I'm just always at BMO Field.
Why? We are going to get our own suite at BMO Field. I guess where it's going to be? Outside. It's going to be outside.
There's no place that we're allowed ever to go.
Ever.
Besides BMO Field for any big game.
For 3 years, we have been doing this podcast, and we've been to 3 stadiums. We've been to Yankee Stadium. We've been to Atlanta United's Mercedes-Benz, and we've been to BMO Field. And that is it. Can another stadium please host something?
Exactly. Well, we've also been to
Rebel Arena.
Which doesn't count. That's just home. That's just going home.
We've been to Montreal.
Yeah, Olympic Stadium. Anyway.
But we didn't go to Stade Saputo.
We did not go.
Which was the one that they play in. So
exactly. We have to go to a game there. That'd be great.
I would love it. Can we go a year where they're good?
Can you what?
Can we go a year they're good?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to have to wait a while.
Yeah. Sorry, Sofian Benzaza.
So, look. Yeah, I'm stoked about this. I think this is going to be I'm trying to think of – it's going to be more popular than the All-Star game.
But do you remember they used to do – I think it was like called the Superliga. Do you remember that at all? It was like a – it was almost like a U.S. Open Cup or an FA Cup. Kind of a competition, like a bracket or like a Champions League, but it was only Mexican and
no.
MLS teams.
Oh, no, I know. I never.
And apparently, everyone hated it. It wasn't great. Teams wouldn't send their best players.
Okay.
So it was a big. It was, and obviously MLS teams were just getting, you know, ravished. So.
Sounds like a.
Hey, Ma.
Sounds like
girl.
Something erotica. Yeah, yeah. What a trashy novel.
Baby, come to me.
Just getting ravished.
So, just kidding.
Lay Sebastian Giovinco down on a bed.
He's wearing one of those low cut dresses so you can see his chesticles.
Lovely.
This podcast keeps getting dumber. And I love every second of it. But it went away. I believe it went away just before 2010, if I'm not mistaken. I forget exactly when it went away. But this seems like an upgrade to that. They're like, all right, we won't do a whole competition.
Just one game.
But check this out. Your best versus our best. Let's do it. And that's, I think it's a smart way to look at it. I also think it's just a really, really tough game for both teams because that means both of those teams have played the most amount of games possible in a season already.
Yeah, but easily the MLS champion has a bit of an advantage because the Mexican team will be in the middle of their season now. You know what I mean? Like in their clausura. So it's going to be the MLS team will be in better form, technically.
Really? Because the Mexican team will be fresh?
I made this point last week,
and
you were like, no, this is a bit.
Yeah, no, I mean,
now
look,
you're saying the same exact
this
thing.
This is for the entertainment factor.
No, I think it usually it's the opposite, because in the CCL going now, it was MLS teams who hadn't even started their season with playing against Liga MX teams that were already a couple games in.
Right.
So I think this one, more than anything, I'm just wondering if it'll get more attention than an All-Star game. Because an All-Star game gets playing against a big European club. The All-Stars playing against a European club. Well, now, will it be that, you know, fans of Liga MX are going to watch this game with a little bit more interest than an All-Star game. So I don't know. I don't know how serious that both teams are going to take it.
I also think putting it in Canada is too much of a home field advantage for Americans, because I think Mexican fans in America might be scared to go because of the political climate, not being able to get back in the country. I think that's
okay.
What
that's a fair question.
So smart move, Don Garber. That's what I'm trying to say. I see you.
I wonder why.
He's like, why don't we play it on the other side of the wall?
I wonder why they. Maybe they'll alternate who hosts year after year. Like maybe it would be.
That's a good point.
MLS champion, Liga MX champion. Yeah. That would be interesting. I think it'd be dope. I hope both teams take it pretty seriously. And. It'll be a good test for the MLS champion who is hopefully doing well enough to prep for the playoffs, you know, in Major League Soccer. So
I think it'll be fun. I think the atmosphere around it and everything, watching some of these, you know, like the ultras from Mexico or the Barra Brava, I forget what they call themselves in Mexico, for them to come out, I think that'd be awesome just to see that atmosphere in Toronto and a big team from Mexico. And hopefully, you know, The jokes aside, the scores continue. This trend that we've already set up in CCL of being the most amazing league in the world and including North America.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, we set the bar.
Because, you know, what's his name? Matt Doyle put up a thing. He's like, hey, three MLS teams, one against three Liga MX teams. What does this mean? Is it a blip? Is this like a sign of the future? And he didn't put one I liked as a response so that I could vote on. So I just put, nah, son. Ain't no blip, my guy. Made it. In all caps.
That's also how you write your write-in vote when you're voting. Yeah, you're just like, nah, son, I don't like any of these. Yeah,
I don't like none of y'all. I'm voting for a pupusa right now. And pupusa gets 3 votes. Who else voted for pupusa?
That's a strong campaign, pupusa empanada. Yeah. I thought that was...
Yeah, yeah. Empanada made a strong push. Later on, went in as VP, which is very nice.
So,
Cafecito wins it all.
All right. So let's another quick thing before the games, because this story took me by surprise. Took the world, the soccer world by surprise as well. In Greece, we've never spoken.
I thought you were going to talk about us at NYC at the NYCFC event.
No, not yet, because this is
that took the whole clearly took the world by storm. This one surprised that it took the world by storm.
So we don't talk about Greece enough.
I do, but normally I'm talking about it with food.
Yes, you know what I mean? Chicken, bacon.
I want Greece. Some more. A little schmaltz in there.
Just drip the pan. Yeah. Turn the pan over. Put it all over my food.
All over the rice, baby. If you don't know that move, if you're not searing your rice in some type of animal fat, you're not eating rice.
Oh my God!
Get out of here! Get out of here, Japan! It's your weak ass rice.
Oh boy, animal fat. This episode has it all.
Eat every part of the animal. Damn, Ma, you better eat a whole part of that animal.
yo, Ma, you eating animal fat? Because
girl, I think you do. Because I see some animal fat right now, and it makes me want to ravish you. How have we found a way to bring that all together?
It all works. All right. So,
send your letters to
Greece, who we do not talk about enough. And honestly, if you want us to talk about the Greece,
Super
League, this is the best way to get on this show. So in Greece,
something gully has to happen.
Something gully.
And let me tell you, this is gully of the week.
Yes, this is what I
gulliest
of the week. Gully, but also like probably a little too much.
you went a little far with the gully. Too far, okay. It is gully. It's certainly the gulliest.
Yeah.
It's a little. We don't co-sign this amount of gully. It.
Yeah. The like you broke the glometer. Yeah.
The glometer is shattered.
All right. So we have to. Please, we're gonna send you an invoice because you need to replace it.
Amazon's out of kilometers right now.
So, Greece, they have indefinitely suspended the league, and I think it might be coming back next week. But they suspended the team owner of
PAOK.
PAOK, I guess.
Yeah.
PAOK. I don't know if that's
Ivan Savitas.
Okay.
Arvydas Sabonis.
Arvydas Sabonis. We know that one.
Yeah. That's your name now, bro. I mean, he jumps in the studio with a gun. How did you get here?
No, so during a game, he was upset about a call. And
No. The goal was allowed, and then everyone got together, and then it was disallowed. It was one of those.
Okay. So, but yes, he was upset about a call.
Yeah, but it was like we were supposed to win. And they were playing Ajax. And apparently that's a big rivalry, Ike versus Pauk. Yes.
So, in you know, I mean, you're clearly not supposed to do this, but he got onto the field.
Well, that's allowed. You're the owner, right? You're allowed to walk on the field at the end of the game, but he brought his good friend with him.
he brought
his two friends, a little Smith and a little Weston with him.
Old Betsy.
He brought the Mexican.
He brought a gun.
Yeah.
On the field, he had it in his holster.
Holstered. And by the way, it was backwards. It was backwards. So I think he put it on his waist to be like, I might need it. But also, let me put it backwards. If you don't know what I mean, he would have had to grab it with the other hand.
Which would have looked super cool.
Or just bring it up upside down. Just unholster it upside down. And everyone's like, I want to laugh, but not just yet. I'm going to wait for him to put the gun back.
Yeah. You're forced to record him in slow-mo as he pulls it out.
Yeah.
That's his one rule.
Imagine just like one of those bang flags pop out. You're like, oh, Arvydas Sabonis, you got me. So he rushes the field angrily and starts pushing people and starts like getting in the face of the officials.
Yeah.
That's bad. The worst part is he also did it while garnishing a gun. Or brandishing. Garnishing a gun. He's putting a little cilantro on it.
This is insane. I don't know what it is. Normally, we don't expect you to like use the right words, but never this consistently to use the wrong words.
I've chopped this whole thing up to make another food thing. This whole podcast is gone.
Somebody's clearly hungry.
Nelba's not listening anymore. I am really hungry, by the way. So anyway, he brandished a gun with no cilantro on it.
There was a quote, the country's deputy minister for sport, Georgios Valisiadis.
That was a good try. Right?
He told the wire service that games would not start up again if there is not a new clear framework agreed to by all so we can move forward with conditions and regulations, which is the nicest way to say, don't bring guns on the field anymore.
Yeah. Can we all agree on something? That one thing being, there's no more guns.
Let's just, look, all right, brainstorming here.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, gather together.
Let's just throw out some ideas. Everyone, there's no dumb ideas. Let's just throw them out.
Look, I know this might be crazy. Maybe this might be a little brash.
Right. Some of these ideas might even seem extreme at the time. But remember, there's no such thing as a bad idea. Does anyone have one? The Olympiacos owner stands up. He's like, how about we don't bring guns? I think that's it.
I think that's the
one. We found the one we wanted.
Meeting adjourned.
Yeah. Bang. We all agree in 3, 2, 1. Bang, bang, bang. And nobody garnish a gun. Here's the funny thing. He wore a jacket. Right. If you watch the video, he wore a jacket in 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, he was wearing an Averix jacket. Yeah, by the way, he looked. If anybody's wearing a gun, has a gun. This guy looks like he probably has
the
a gun.
The only thing this dude was missing was a durag. I mean, he just walked out mad gully. He kept flipping the jacket. He was like about to open up the jacket to pull the gun out. So he didn't come out and just be like, I'm just wearing. He brought out like, I'm gonna show people this thing I brought. And other people were sort of holding him back. And at one point he takes the jacket off and he did go to unholster the gun. I mean, this is clearly not allowed. I think what they should do is one, ban him, and two, ban guns. And I know that there's a lot of people listening that aren't fans of that idea. This is in Greece, so you don't care.
Yes, we should.
And I'm assuming if you disagree with me, you probably don't know where Greece is.
I'll go out on a limb and also say, let's ban guns at MLS games. How about, you know,
Let's why don't we ban guns where games are had?
Okay, yeah. I mean, I don't think
I know Russia's like, yo, bring your Coke with you. Bring the H.
Yeah.
What you got, Molly? Share it if you're going
to
bring
it. We're trying to be a tad more reasonable.
Yeah, we're just trying to be just a tad more reasonable.
Hopefully we haven't offended our fan base.
Yeah, I know there's a sociologist, or what was he, an economist who might be upset. I know he hates it when we bring him up. But look, if you do get upset about this, remember it's in Greece.
Yeah. Also, he looks like a he doesn't look like a criminal or bad guy in any real way.
Why? What does that mean?
Because he has very nice glasses.
Yeah. He actually looks like he's like a dad who would invite you on a boat.
He looks like an ethics professor. You know, I mean, yeah. He looks just like a calm.
Well, he's failing his course.
But yeah, so it's just kind of surprising. I don't know what the ambiance is like at a game in Greece. Maybe like He has the gun and he's walking on the field, so it looks worse. But maybe he brings his gun every single game.
Yeah, maybe that's just the thing all owners in Greece do.
Sure, just protect themselves or whatever. But this looks really bad, especially in the there have been incidents where referees have been actually attacked or killed.
I think in Argentina, one of them got shot.
Yeah, I remember the one in Brazil, the dude that cut the guy's head off and put his head on the flag in the center of the pitch. Remember
this is like three, four
years ago.
Yeah.
So, look, I mean,
Things happen.
It's not like there's no precedent for any of this stuff.
Remember the dude in Galatasaray who, hid under a sign? He slept under an advertisement from the night before. And then he woke up. He got out of it in the halftime, and he pulled the knife out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long game for that.
That guy planned that out.
So, not cool, bro.
He didn't just wake up underneath an advertisement with a knife, and he was like, I should probably scare one of these players.
There's crazy people. Another example, and it could have been way worse, but last week at West Ham, another example of fans upset. I don't even know what the hell's going on.
I didn't hear about this.
In West Ham, where fans invaded the pitch. They ran onto the pitch several times because they're upset with the West Ham ownership for essentially kind of, one, moving the team to their new stadium.
And they destroyed the old stadium, so there's no going back.
So upset about a lot of how the team is being handled.
Yeah.
They ran onto the pitch several times. A couple players tried to, they didn't attack any players, but they, players
they tried to be like, come on, get back up there.
Exactly. Another guy grabbed the corner flag and then spiked it in the center of the pitch.
Yeah,
this is in England. This is a Premier League game.
None of this is during Braveheart.
I think they were playing Burnley. I don't remember exactly. But then a large group of fans. If they would have had pitchforks, it would have been like ideal.
Yeah.
But they stood in front of the ownership box and just started yelling at them for how they've handled the team. So there's real, there's real danger.
There's tension building.
There's tension and stuff like that. So, with soccer games, it's like, look, a gun doesn't help at all.
No. Also, we as American soccer fans, we try to, make the game sound enticing and sound exciting for non-soccer fans. And you got to watch. And they Google soccer, and the first three things that come up is a guy with a gun in Greece, people, throwing the flag of their new country, of their new nation, in the center of, I forget where West Ham plays this year. It's not Wimbledon. But and then you have, other things. It's like this makes us look ridiculous.
Yeah,
you know?
So that's bad. So
also, what an exciting sport. This doesn't happen in the NFL. People get upset when somebody kneels, for fuck's sake, in the NFL. Look at this. We got guys with guns, and they're like, all right, at least a week we need to take a break.
I'll take kneeling. I'll take laying down. Burn the flag over.
Buddy.
Everybody having guns on the pitch.
I would prefer you ravish each other during the national anthem.
Yes. If the halftime show was sensual, making love, I would take that over.
Passionate, though.
Passionate.
This isn't animalistic.
And respectful. I want both players to be covered in animal fat.
Which, not only can I make that happen, I have dreamed of making it happen.
Okay.
Think about how much you'd save in lube.
Oh, boy.
Why are you still listening? That's the real question.
All right. A couple other things we have to get to. Oh, boy. So, NYCFC held their 24-hour game.
Yeah.
This was a thing that was, I felt like,
I don't think anyone else has ever done this before.
I don't think so, but they,
and if you have, don't tell me you did it in your crappy ass little town where no one goes. They did this in 30 Rock,
right
in front of Rockefeller
that's
Center.
Right. I think Tina Fey got a hat trick.
Tina Fey, Michael Che was out there headed in the ball. Colin Jost was checking his hand. I mean, this was in front of 30 Rock, literally in front of 30 Rock.
Yeah, it was.
They set up what looked like kind of like a wrestling cage.
Yeah.
That had, it's bigger than a five-a-side.
It was a steel cage match.
Yeah. Alexis versus Christian. I don't know any wrestlers.
Mick Foley against Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That guy who pretended to be Cuban versus Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay.
It was awesome. It was it was a five-a-side, but I don't think it was like a legit five-a-side size.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, it was pretty small, yeah. But it was fun.
It was awesome, and it was cool. It was a really cool experience. Shout out to Frankie Freestyle. He was hosting.
That's right.
Shout out to Chelsea, who was there. Not mm-hmm. here, but she was there. Shout out to NYCFC for asking us to be there, which was kind
of
cool.
Yeah, that was very sweet of them. Yeah.
They posted us on their Instagram.
Thank you so much for doing that. That was very sweet.
We got to play. Can we talk about it? Because you've been shitting on my potential soccer skills. On a scale of 1 to 10, I want you to be honest now for the podcast, because whatever you say, I'm going to add 4.
Okay, so let's be clear. You
disallowed me from playing on a team that has our name on it.
You've been nothing but you're more than welcome.
Now look at how the tone changes, everybody. Put down your animal fat and listen to this.
You've been nothing but welcome. You are, but when I know you well enough, I know your sort of exercise habits. I know or lack thereof.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's pretty complimentary already.
So I haven't you know, extended the invitation fully because. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about your own well-being. So it's really
condescending
more,
is more what about I'm getting,
your, more
what
about
I'm
how much I care about you and your health over not having you play.
Well, I want everyone to know he did not deny, and not only that, added support to my claim that he has disallowed me. He has made it seem as though I am not welcome on a team called Cooligans FC. So we play. Granted, we played for all of 15 minutes. And I couldn't wake up the next day. But let me say this. On a scale of 1 to 10, be honest. My soccer skills on a scale of 1 to 10. And I haven't played in many years.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is what? You humiliated us?
Ten is, oh my God, you're amazing.
No, I'll say this. You know, you clearly know what you're doing. You got a couple touches in there.
Good passing.
I don't remember you completing one pass, but I could be wrong.
You are very wrong.
No.
I tried to hit you with a couple crosses. I didn't know you couldn't score. You failed to connect.
Okay.
There were defenders. I lobbed it. All you had to do was lift your foot up both times. Put them in the exact same. I didn't know you couldn't score, you know, inside the box. That's my fault.
Yes.
Okay. So my fault also reminds me of you in high school. Anyone?
Really unnecessary.
Unnecessary. How dare you? You're sitting here just
completely true. Completely true.
You've mentioned it on this podcast.
But highly unnecessary.
Second of all, you said I couldn't connect the pass. I'm not allowed to throw another jab over here. You said I couldn't. It's pretty good. Some of the passes were back passes, but they are passes nonetheless.
Yes, that's right.
I'm good with spacing, which you would imagine is hard for me.
Because you take up a lot of it.
Exactly. A couple moves left to right. I'm in another completely on the other side here.
So
give me a number, scale of 1 to 10.
I'm gonna say your soccer skills outside of like physical ability, right? Just soccer skills on their
my
own.
My ability to play the game level comparable to some of the other people that were out
some
there.
Some of the people that were pretty good.
That's what I'm saying, not
much
everyone.
Better than me by far.
By a lot. Yeah, but some dude was out there in khakis just running game. And then he's like, oh, he played professional in Spain. Get this fucking guy out of here.
I'm gonna give you a 6.
Yay!
I'm gonna give you 6. You know what you were doing? Yeah, you
haven't played in years.
Yeah. You haven't played. You haven't exercised in years.
I haven't even mimicked what a soccer player does in years.
Look, but more than anything, watching you play, it was like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And you were having a tough time just running around.
Well, no, I was just trying to go on the other side. You know, I was trying to make myself a bit more available for passes.
Look, all I'll say is this. I think you should apply yourself more to keep playing and keep exercising.
Don't you dare life coach me right now. Don't you dare.
Because I think you
dare.
Can improve a lot of aspects of your game and your life. And
Wow. Does everyone hear this?
That's from a friend to another friend. That's all.
So condescending. Well, we're going to end this episode of Maury and get back to our podcast.
And you are not the father, by the way. So that's pretty cool.
How about this? Scale of 1 to 10, my celebration skills.
They know, people know.
NYCFC posted it.
They posted it.
We have a video. Didn't we post the video on?
We did not post the video yet, but it's coming soon. It's coming soon. So
I thought you put that clip on.
I didn't
social
put
media.
The clip.
Oh, you just showed it to people on your phone.
I showed it to you. Yeah, yeah. So there's a. We were trying to come up with a fun celebration. So I scored 2 goals.
Well, here's the truth.
And I got an assist.
Christian goes in. He's like all preparing himself to play well. There's nothing funny about that. Okay? There's nothing funny. He's got 2 goals and assist. Ha, ha, ha. No one's laughing. Everyone's like, okay, good for you.
Okay.
You didn't win MVP. What you did is you middled, okay? You proved you could play soccer. It did nothing for our cachet.
I
care more about this podcast than looking like a good soccer player. So I brought myself down
a level. I contributed to the 400, two of those 415 goals that Team Villa scored.
But not to how people view us. We're comedians out there, not soccer players. So I was like, all right.
I hurt our image by scoring those goals.
How dare you? How dare you look good at soccer? I was like, this will be funny. I ran across the street. I bought a little something, put it in my back pocket. Right?
Bought a little something.
Right? About the fastest one that I could get, and I'll explain what it is. So I knew walking in I wasn't going to score a goal. You know what I mean? I thought maybe, and I had a really good opportunity. Someone passed the long ball to me. I was at the top of the box, and I quickly turned and one-timed it. It was going directly to the center of the goal. They had a pretty good goalkeeper. I tried to nutmeg him with that one touch.
Yes, also,
and he dropped
the
on
one
his
touch
ass.
Probably went at about half a mile per hour. So it wasn't like you blasted the ball trying to.
I angled it back in the way of the goal. What am I, Giazzi Zardes? Last year, by the way. Not this year. I tried to be Giazzi Zardes this year. So I tried to angle it. That was my closest shot to a goal. But. I knew that I wasn't going to score. I thought someone on our team
would
score. You
can't go in with that attitude, okay? A striker does not go in with the attitude, oh, I'm not going to score today.
Buddy, I was playing box to box and breath to breath also. So I thought as soon as someone on our team scores, I'm going to join the celebration. I have this thing in my back pocket that I'll do. I'll try to get close to the cameras. You happen to be the one who scored, and this was the one that I claim I set up. I'm pretty sure I set up somehow. I passed to someone who passed to you. So second assist counts in MLS.
We have the video.
Yeah.
You were not even involved in the play.
I think it was the next one, and then I was involved
in the play. Yeah, and the second goal, you were more
so then this one,
involved.
I was just sort of – I think I was just pushing a girl out of the way. I honestly think I shoved a girl out of the way just to get involved somehow and to make everyone realize boy's there.
Yeah, it's like this doesn't show up in the stat sheet, and that's the problem.
The real issue in this world is that these ain't real stats.
Okay.
How many people mushing girls out there?
In fantasy points, those are bonus points. Yeah. When you mush
at least
a girl,
kicker. I should get a kicker. You know what I mean? It may not count for a point, but it'll help duplicate the amount of points I've already acquired here. So you happen to be the one who scores. I start freaking out. You run towards me. I do the Sadio Mane. I want to start copying your goal celebration.
Yeah.
But you really didn't celebrate. You were just like,
I kind of did the Tommy Mac.
Kind of the airplane.
Airplane. Yeah.
A little bit, you know, sort of pulsing the wings.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled a sandwich out of my back pocket.
That's right.
And I start eating it. And you look at me and you're like, he actually fucking did it. And all of a sudden, I see the guy who was holding our camera.
Yeah.
So I look directly into that and I start eating it. I get on my knees to, you know, like thank the heavens for the sandwich and the goal. And I hear.
More the sandwich, though.
I hear, look over here, look over here, look over here, look over here. And there's like 6 cameras over there. So I didn't know there were that many cameras. It went hilarious. Everyone laughed. It was a good time. Here's the issue. I now have a baguette with ham and cheese in my mouth. Right?
Oh, not right now.
No, not right now.
Not still.
But I have nowhere. I wanted to spit it out, but there's just kids lined up along the side. There was nowhere to spit it out.
Yeah, you're not. Don't be Jamie Carragher.
No. So I have to. Yeah. God forbid I get suspended. So I mushed the girl again just for her composure. I'm now. People on my team are like, play. Come on, get back in the game. I'm like, I'm gonna choke. It was literally stuck in my throat. I'm trying to swallow. I barely have any saliva because my body is just dispensing any liquids I have out of my pores. I mean, my body is like called in the reserves. Man, now grease is coming out of my hair. I've got urine I was supposed to pee. It's all coming out of my armpits.
Sure.
And my back is so good. I am sweating profusely after running barely for 10 minutes. I could not swallow it. So I took like 2 goals off. People were scoring around, people running. I'm just like, I finally swallow it. I was like, oh, thank God. I get back in the the game, and I realized like the score is way different than when you scored. I barely got involved, but it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
People freaked out. NYCFC posted, you know, thanks for joining, Sir Cooligans. Christian Blanco, 2 goals plus assist. At Not Alexis, 1 sandwich goal celebration, a little emoji of a sandwich.
Hey, buddy. You're in the record books, man. Buddy. That's all that matters.
No one else did that. 24 hours. How many people played? A couple thousand? None of y'all? None of y'all had a good celebration?
So, yeah, it was a unique thing. Really, really cool in front of Rockefeller Center. And
I don't think anyone's ever done something like this.
Yeah.
It was really cool to see people walk by like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah, it was a lot of tourists, a lot of just people, fans of soccer. Just hanging out, watching the game. And they got to see player Patrick Vieira was there.
Yeah.
David Villa.
The only thing I wish they would have done it is right on the ice.
That would have been cool.
Because then people would have been able to gather up the top and look down. I think that's the only thing. And I'm pretty sure that was probably their first attempt.
Yeah.
And they were like, because people were ice skating. They're like, yeah, we can't shut it down for a day. But other than that, I thought it was perfect. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah. Just a unique thing. And hopefully, it was like a creative way to kind of prep for the home opener,
yeah,
and get people like just excited about soccer in the city again, and hopefully like other teams can come up with like, I'm trying to think of ways to just top things like that, but that was just like a really, really it felt special. And
the only way people could top it is if they do it at a bigger monument in New York City, because what's in your town? Nothing.
Sure, just a 24-hour game on top of the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, that would be huge. But like a 24-hour game on top of, you know, one of your 4 Waffle Houses is not going to really impress anyone. Sorry.
That'd be kind of dope, though.
I mean, I'll be there. I'll be downstairs, though.
I mean, when it comes to, like, imagine the food celebrations.
Oh, buddy. You try to kneel slide, you're going to glide out of that place because it's covered in grease. We also have to announce.
Yes, let's talk about this. Let's announce a huge thing that we're...
a huge honor for us.
Huge honor. We're incredibly flattered by this.
Massively flattered. We are sponsoring, without actually having to pay for anything. Thank God. We're going to be... Our logo is going to be on a semi-pro soccer team's jersey.
That's right. We've talked about...
This is huge.
We've talked about them before. Bug Eaters FC, a team based out of Lincoln, Nebraska.
Lincoln, Nebraska is starting to get a lot more gully than you thought it would be. We're going to put it right now. So if you're listening to this, go to the YouTube channel and watch whenever it gets uploaded. Watch the episode itself because we're putting up the images right now. It's so dope. We're going to be on all of their Bug Eater FC's jerseys. We're going to be on the arm.
Yeah.
So we're like the Angry Birds.
Yeah, we're going to be right on the sleeve. So, I can't even stress from where started from the bottom.
Yeah,
and now we here. Now we on sleeves.
People in Lincoln, Nebraska, I don't think I've ever even seen a Dominican or a Cuban, and now the logo of their soccer podcast is going to be on the sleeve.
So this is going to look. I don't know exactly how many listeners we have in Lincoln, Nebraska, or in the greater Nebraska area,
the greater Lincoln area.
But this is, I think the fact that it's like in a place that I've never been.
Right.
I don't know what real connection.
That's a good point. Our logo's there before we are.
The surface is amazing. Our logo's out there scouting to see if it's okay for us to hang out.
Our logo's just asking a couple questions. Is it cool? Is
it cool with weed? Hey, any kind of Cubans around? I just want to make sure.
When was the last time anyone here had a Cuban sandwich? We're trying to...
Just checking out.
If I say mofongo, how are you guys going to react?
Okay. All right. So, huge, huge honor for us. We're going to be on the sleeve of a team. I mean, I can't... I think the players, when they see it, they're going to be like, yo, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Pizza on my sleeve?
Yeah, why is there half a pizza and half a soccer ball on my sleeve?
No, but we're incredibly flattered. So, so honored. We can't wait to see... watch the games. Hopefully we can get some footage of the games. I don't know if they're on Facebook Live, Instagram Live. Like, we'll watch them. We'll share them.
Oh, are you kidding me? We'll share the crap out of it. And also, we want to thank Jonathan Kiura, I'm assuming. Yeah. You know, it's 2 L's, so we're giving you the Latin name, whether you like it or not. You know, for putting this together, this was absolutely awesome. We've never seen Bug Eaters FC play. No one has. So if you want to, let's say you live on the East Coast and you want to know how. Unfortunately, we can't make it to the game, but they're going to be playing on May 5th. They're going to be playing the Surf and Turf Derby against Atlantic City FC, which is also another brand new team.
Yeah.
Atlantic City FC plays in Atlantic City. It's going to be at Atlantic City.
Yeah, they play in the UPSL, the United Premier Soccer League. Yeah.
So it's going to be dope. It's going to be a cool thing. Their opening day is going to be May 19th down in Lincoln, Nebraska. So get down there. They've got a couple games. June 15th, they're going to be playing against the Des Moines Menace. That's also an exhibition. June 17th on Father's Day, they're going to play in Union Dubuque FC, which is also an exhibition. They got a couple things already lined up on their website. So go to bugeatersfc.com if you don't know how to spell that. That's BUGEATERSFC.com. Bugeaters FC, awesome merch. Look, if you've never seen them play, but you love us, get one of those jerseys because our logo's on it.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's surreal. It's surreal.
Isn't that crazy?
Thank you so much. Thank you. It really. It is like a. From. I mean, again. We just started. We've been doing stand-up comedy in New York City for a long time.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, we're like, hey, we should do a soccer thing. It was like 30 listeners.
Yeah. I remember when the first one got like 100 downloads, and we were like, whoa, are these people?
But the fact that we started just from like kind of just talking to NYCFC fans.
We started there, and then we sort of expanded it. Now, like... What every level?
Surreal. So this is great. So
this is wild to us.
Shout out Bug Eaters FC. All the best this year. Win the league. Win the league for us. Imagine they win the league
with the power of the Cooligans logo.
I think that's
we are the next entire of the UPSL. And also, for all you super pro teams, like top flight teams that don't have a sponsor on the front of your shirt.
Put the Cooligans on there.
Chivas, what are you doing? Chivas de Guadalajara.
Yeah.
Or Guadalajara, however you guys say it. Hit us up.
We have, the $3 million it costs to put our logo on there.
I'm saying they offer for free. Shh. We'll have to sell the Hackensack Radio Hill Stage 17.
We're good for it, bro. Yeah. Come on.
Put it on the tab.
What do you mean? You think I don't got it? Yeah. I got it.
We're taking all of these jerseys.
All right. So should we take a break or talk about the CCL matches right now?
Let's take a little break and then we'll do that. We'll come back.
CCL and the MLS CCL, matches. A little preview.
MLS be winning.
MLS.
And they be playing.
That's right. That'd be a great commercial for the CCL game. Yo, MLS be winning, dog. Yo, you want to watch now?
Yo. Yo, my guy. MLS be winning. Put it on. Go 90. It's free. Stop asking.
All right. So we'll be right back after this.
Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast, but we have a quick word from our sponsors, which is us.
So we have new t-shirts that are coming out. They're going to be shipping this week.
Of course. So you guys are going to be getting them very soon. I know a lot of you guys did the pre-sale, which was awesome. Thank you so much. We're really excited about the amount of people. And if you do get it, please post a photo of you in the shirt.
That's
we would love to see it.
They are the official Cooliest.
They're probably that too. The disease is spread to Christian here in the advertisement.
The Cooligans Gulliest tee that we're really excited about.
We're super excited.
We designed it ourselves. It came out great. It's from On the Valley Apparel. They look good. They feel good.
They make you feel good. Now, look, even though the pre-sale is over and you can't get the discount anymore by using Cooligans, you could still get a discount on other items on the Valley Apparel, onthevalleyapparel.com, using the word Cooligans. Everyone else is going to be rocking this shirt. You might as well, too. So go out and buy that shirt. It's not only going to make you look awesome. It's not only going to make you look mad thorough. But also you're going to be supporting us, and what's better than that?
Yeah.
Supporting this podcast that makes you laugh.
Exactly. So go to soccercooligans.com and click on the merch tab, and it'll take you right to the shop to pick up the shirt.
What's easier than that?
Hi, this is Mike Coscarelli from Anxiety Now.
And Andrea Allen from the Hot Mess Comedy Hour.
We just launched the brand new OG Podcast Network and wanted to let you know that you can hear ours and other great shows by going to ogpodcastnetwork.com.
Also, be sure to follow the network on social media to keep up to date with new shows, videos, and live events.
That's at OG Podcasts on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Or you can subscribe to your favorite OG podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, baby, we're back.
We're back. Well, it sounded like you were starting the show again.
I know, that's why I was quickly shout over to we're back.
Okay, we're back.
Yeah, don't do all that.
All right, so we were talking about CONCACAF Champions League.
No, we weren't. Yeah, we were.
A cool little side note, Grant Wall, reporter for Sports Illustrated, he recently tweeted that he felt compelled to clarify every time he wrote Champions League, because usually when we say Champions League, we're talking about UEFA Champions League.
Yeah, UEFA.
And he said with the popularity of the CONCACAF Champions League that he feels like, oh, he can't really just say Champions League anymore. He has to say UEFA Champions League or CONCACAF Champions League or CCL, things like that, which is...
We made it.
We made it.
We're
right?
here.
It ain't just a blip. You
nah,
know?
Son. It was never a blip. We're here now.
Which is cool. I know that the format for CONCACAF Champions League has changed, and I think this is the sort of a better way to do it, with essentially less games, and just putting those winners of those like there's no group stage.
Yeah, no, go right to the pressure moment.
Go right to the knockout stage. So that ups the ante, makes it more exciting for the viewer. Now in hindsight we realize, okay, this was probably the better move to change the format.
And, for all the people that are talking about the MLS playoffs to be, sort of maybe become more efficient, this might be a sign that that might be a good idea, because this has been really – CCL's been incredibly
exciting. Wait, what do you mean? What?
People want, less teams to be getting into the MLS playoffs and maybe single game elimination as opposed to the home and aways. Remember from last year?
Yeah. This has home and away.
I know. While it does have home and away, it's less people getting in, less games. In other words, just the lesser amount of people that get in, the more excitement. I don't even know, guys. I'm listening to me talking. The moment you listen.
I mean, the only issue I have with the MLS playoffs is the fact that long break in between it in the middle of the playoffs.
International break kills it.
That break is just
that's the worst.
It's no good.
It's the worst.
I mean that
and also just makes it colder when we go to Toronto every year.
All right, look, let's not complain. We're not here to complain about MLS playoffs.
No, not at all.
We're here to
complain about how weak these Mexican teams are.
Yo, that's it. Cancel Liga MX. All right,
come on,
done with it.
That retirement ass league.
So look. Well, the second leg for the matches are coming up this week. We're recording on Tuesday. There's going to be two matches, the Red Bull against Tijuana and Toronto FC against Tigres. So you'll already know the result and if these teams made it. Seattle will be playing against Chivas.
All the games are happening tonight. So by what? Well, no. All the games are happening tonight as we're recording. And then all the Seattle game will be happening.
So we won't
Wednesday.
Go too much into it because the games were a week ago. But
about a week ago.
But we should highlight the fact that easily the biggest, probably the biggest result here had to be Rebels 2-0 playing in TJ and winning the game 2-0.
Apparently, I heard Matt Doyle say this. I don't know if it's 100% true. I haven't done research. That's the best win by a MLS club on Mexican soil.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's
embarrassing. But
but we're getting there.
We're here now.
But we're seeing that the changes in Major League Soccer and the rules and in the salary cap rules,
TAM
and all that stuff. Look, it's. Providing like results is getting actual results, especially in these competitions. So
and don't even think about the fact that with the more increase in TAM, the better we play, but that also means less Americans are playing. Don't even think about it. Get that out of your head. Just think about the fact that we got the W. We wanted the dub. We got the dub.
Yeah, well, we got the Bradley dub.
Yeah.
It's safe to say that the Red Bull have the best chance of moving on in the competition. The other teams...
I still think Toronto. I think Toronto is the best team in North America.
But the fact that they allowed that away goal at BMO Field is going to be tough.
Tough because of those Tigres fans are going to walk in with a lot of confidence and they're just going to be bratted down by Sebastian Chivinka.
Okay, well, someone's confident. Look... The game between Rebels and Tijuana was I don't want to say they got lucky, but I mean Robles had to have the game of his life.
Yeah, which might not happen again. And what was their possession? 10%? I mean, this was a very lopsided game, and they clearly the Rebels were defending and trying to sneak some of those chances, which is, look, I'm not anti-Red Bull in this. I think that's a smart way to play, but all jokes aside, I don't want to walk away being like, I mean, we ran you off the field. That's not how we did as MLS, but that's how you sneak out or eke out a win sometimes. You have to do that, especially when you're playing on the road and especially when you're playing in a hostile environment.
But they did all the credit to them. They played very, very well.
Incredible.
They defended well. Bradley Wright Phillips was incredible. Those two goals were none of them were really. The first one was like it landed there, but he blasted it to the roof of the net.
Yeah, you still had to land that. If he misses that or clangs that off the crossbar.
The second goal, all the credit to him. He had a muscle through it. But there weren't any like great connected passes that opened up space and everything. Like, it was just like Bradley Wright Phillips was like, yo, I'm just gonna barrel towards the net and see what I can do.
Yeah.
But more than anything, Robles was the man of the match because of how just amazing.
Was it 13 saves?
I didn't even see the number, but he was surreal.
It was very similar to Tim Howard's game against Belgium in that sense.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at the team's stat. Yeah, 13 saves.
13 saves.
What are we looking at? Possession. Where's possession? 60% for Cholos.
That's less than I expected. It looked worse.
Yeah, sure, but still a lot.
And
more than anything, I thought the Robles played well, but defensively they were very, very composed. I thought the new after the trade for Felipe, Tim Parker.
Yeah,
I thought he was surreal. He was like downright like I'm gonna get violent. That's how much I'm gonna win this game. I'll do whatever I can to help
Tim Parker. I think you were the one who posted like shedding that Canadian good boy.
Yeah,
image.
Because he was tackling.
He was coming in. And he was like, yo, he had Taylor Ham in his mouth. He was pushing everybody. He went straight East Coast, man. He was just he was gully as hell. Actually.
Yeah, he was. He played really, really well. So I think they have the best chance.
Let's talk about Toronto though, because here's the thing about Toronto. They came back against Tigres.
Which was tremendous, yeah.
And I know Tigres didn't field every one of their superstars. Eventually they came on. You know, Pierre-Emerick Gignac, right? P-E-G? Is that his
Andre,
name?
Pierre-Andre Gignac.
Or whatever, Gignac.
Yeah.
Why did I try? Gignac came in eventually. They were like, all right, this isn't going as planned. We need to bring in some firepower. But Vargas played.
Yeah, he got
Vargas is the one who scored in the 52nd minute. And he's a starter for the Chilean national team. Make all the jokes you want right now, but we're also not in the World Cup. So starter for the Chilean national team, played at a very high level previously. Not that Liga MX is in, but he's not even – I mean, this is like he's one of their big names.
Yeah.
So he scored in the 52nd, and then we came in, Brad, Osorio, and Altidore.
Okay, so, I mean, all the credit in the world to Edu Vargas. He – it was not an easy goal. I mean, the ball was bouncing away from him. He went around it and kind of wrapped it around to the other post and got it past Bona. A great goal. It seemed like the beginning of, here we go. You know, TFC, best team in the league, won the treble, whatever. But, you know, Tigres are going to sort of put him in their place.
Yeah.
Right back, 60th minute. Jozy Altidore, which almost not exactly a similar goal, but kind of had to force his way into it.
And he's a big man.
That's
a big man goal.
And this is what Jozy Altidore should be doing on the international stage.
Every day.
Bodying fools.
Everywhere.
To get by him, because he's bigger than most MLS defenders, most Liga MX defenders.
He's got LeBron body out there.
He's got LeBron body, which is a severe condition.
Yeah.
And if you need help.
I hope. I hear it just ravishes your insides.
Great goal. And the composure to get back in that game. But the
goal of the game.
The goal of the game. Jonathan Osorio, the homie that remember that with the halftime interview that was just legendary. It was we're just ruining this freaking game out there. We're just losing the freaking ball.
He is
straight up Canadian.
He is OG. And he keeps talking about that Overton or something like that, whatever the local neighborhood where like Dwayne D. Rosario is from, a little bit of the hood in Toronto.
Okay.
I think that's where he's from.
Yeah, yeah.
So everyone's like, yo, he is OD Toronto. Like, he is Mr. Toronto. Like, if you talk to him, you're going to see real Toronto. And he was just like, not going to let this go away with a 1-1 draw. Just not happening.
And that's
sweet little flick, dude.
Yeah, look, TFC, they had a couple really, really good chances in this game, and they probably could have had like three or four, even though, Tigres are Tigres, but like when an MLS team against Liga MX misses their opportunity, you're like, It's worse. Yeah. You can't.
You don't get that many opportunities.
Because when
these
you
teams.
Go back to Mexico, it's going to be a nightmare.
No, they're going
to
be throwing piss at you. So, you got to you gotta score now.
But Jarmico would just drink it.
Yeah. He grows a little bit.
So, but that goal from Jonathan Osorio.
And the reaction, the way the fans, the way he reacted. He did that for the city.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Toronto scored.
And if you had, if you haven't seen it, watch the highlights. But it was a, I believe, a cross from Jovinko, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I forget.
Yeah, yeah. It was Jovinko got the assist.
Yeah, it was across the face
of
the goal.
89th minute. They're trying anything they can. Look, they could easily take this 1-1 and be like, all right, we did our best.
That's a good score last year.
Yeah.
But this year is another... A whole nother ball game.
They
a whole nother ball game.
Okay, this is the fourth entry of 50 Shades.
Trapped in the Closet, chapter 743.
The goal, just the effort to try to get that win, but Osorio to the cojones.
Yeah.
Speaking of Liga MX, the cojones to backheel this ball, which it wasn't really the fastest cross.
I tried it in the NYCFC game. Remember?
Yeah. It did
not work as well.
Yeah, it brought very different results.
Maybe it was a shitty cross. I don't know.
But the cross wasn't too great, mainly because
it got it in the space.
It got it in space, but. Mainly because of how awful BMO Field. The pitch was disgusting.
What did you say, BBVA?
Yeah, it was like they flew in BBA via Compass Field to BMO Field.
Houston fans like, come on. I think they tweeted at us like, come on, we have to be brought into this.
It was, it didn't great. So the ball was skipping around a bunch.
Yeah.
But the fact, 89th minute, back heel for the game-winning goal. This is crazy.
It was the way the fans reacted. I wish I was out there. I wish I was with them, because it was just like the team, the fans, everyone went absolutely nuts, and it's infectious to watch. And as an MLS fan, you know, you don't just in these situations, you especially until we start winning it a bit more regularly, rivalries don't matter. You root for MLS in these things.
Sure.
You absolutely do. Yep. So I know you said Red Bull looked like they were capable of winning. I honestly think, I don't know if it's going to be as easy, but I think Toronto can go down to Tigres, and I think they can pull it out.
Okay, maybe.
And, of course, the team that I'm constantly saying can't do it, and a player that's too old does it.
Just consistently does it.
Just proving me wrong every step of the way.
Leg two is coming up tonight. At 10 p.m. Eastern time, Seattle Sounders against Chivas Guadalajara.
Yeah, watch it.
They in the first leg, they won this game 1-0. Goal from Clint Dempsey. But honestly, Sounders completely outplayed Chivas. I thought
all over the
they
turf.
They were way attacking, way more. This game should have been 4 or 5-0.
And I often think, watching that, if they had that pace on the left-hand side, if they had someone like a Jordan Morris, you know what
sure.
I mean? If they were able to be at full strength, what would that? How much better would that have looked?
Maybe, but a lot of credit to the players that did play, because there was a...
Lodeiro looks great, by the way.
Lodeiro looked great, but no, we huge shout-out to Handwala Bwana.
Yeah, Bwana.
So
that's right.
I remember seeing Sounders put up a clip when he signed with the team, and his story. I forgot exactly where he came from. He came from a lot of poverty, and now he's a professional. He was incredible. He's a great. I don't know what position does he play. He's a midfielder.
Yeah.
But he reminds me of a more clever Jovan Jones as far as on the ball. I don't know, like crosses and things like that. I don't know if he's going to get there yet, but he was incredible.
That's a tall order.
He's incredibly elusive. He's fast, very technical. He should have definitely had a penalty called. He drew a foul.
Yes,
that
he
they
did.
Just, I don't know what the referee was thinking.
Counting his money from Chivas de Guadalajara.
But I think this is going to really bite the Sounders in the ass. I wish them all the best, but this game should have been 3-4-5. I mean, there were so many amazing chances. Dempsey missed a couple other ones that were a couple minutes before he made the goal. He missed one that was
He missed a couple. This could have been 3-0
yeah.
easily. And, you know, I try not to shit on the guy. Once again, I say what I said on the podcast. I just thought he didn't have the right ticker after the heart issue, mm-hmm. and he's getting up there in age, so they shouldn't play him.
Proving I mean, imagine Clint Dempsey watched you play in that 24-hour NYCFC game. What he would be saying about your ticker?
Probably he'd be saying, like, wow, what a great goal celebration. And also, he didn't even score, and he still celebrated a goal. I mean, this guy's changing the game as we speak.
So
I'm the Paris Hilton of soccer.
When they replaced, I think Buana got, I don't know if he got injured or they just took him off. I don't remember exactly. But Henry Wingo came on the game and got the assist. On the goal that Dempsey got. I think this is going to bite Sounders in the ass. I think they may lose this because of all like how poorly they played. They're the one I'm most worried about. I think even though they're going into this game with a lead, I think they have the biggest opportunity, the biggest chance to actually lose the series.
Why?
Because of how all those chances that they missed. I think Chivas is going to kind of recollect and play a lot better than they did
Chivas,
before.
Chivas at home is a completely different team than Chivas even in the parking lot. I mean, Chivas inside that stadium is a different team, but if they had the opportunity to get those, if they had those chances, something tells me that they're going to have chances again. And if they sink them, if they get them,
I'm hoping they do it. I'm always the Sounders
pessimist on this podcast. And now I'm like, I don't know what you mean because if they had those opportunities, they may still get opportunities.
Do you think all the MLS teams are going to move forward?
No,
you don't. So who do you think has the biggest chance to lose?
Red Bull.
And they have a 2-0 lead.
Yeah.
Going and they're playing at home.
Yeah,
and you think, which is crazy to me.
Because you think Robles? I mean, he's not at a gala with us right now. He needs to be at a gala with us right now if he's going to win. Also, I want him to be able to do the same thing. I don't think he's going to be able to do the same thing. How are you going to get 13 more saves?
I'll say this.
Hold on. So you think that Cholos had all those opportunities and they're gonna net him this time. They're actually gonna score. They're gonna finish all those opportunities. But you don't think Seattle can?
No. If Cholos could,
are you anti-American?
If Cholos couldn't do
it, get off your knee.
If Cholos couldn't do it at home, I don't think they're gonna do it on the road at Red Bull Arena. That's my opinion. Even though they're gonna have a lot of support at Red Bull Arena. So it's going to be interesting.
They're going to have an incredible amount of support.
Yeah. But I don't think they're going to do it. And I saw the Red Bulls play. I was at Red Bull Arena for their Timbers match. And the Red Bulls, again, Robles was still on point, on fire, making an incredible save. So I think he's in perfect form.
Yeah.
So out of the three teams that I think may not make it, I think the Sounders may not make it. That is my opinion.
I think if you're listening to this podcast, you know all of the results except the Sounders, unless you're listening to it late. I think Toronto moves on. I think Red Bull lose at home, and I think Sounders move on.
Okay, so
or Sounders go to penalties, and then from there anything can happen.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the MLS matches, and let's start with I was just at Red Bull Arena and watching.
Yeah, you were there
watching the Timbers.
You watched the massacre.
I was hanging out with the Timbers Army. Shout out to them. Their scarf is it right here on our table. I got to hang out with the Timbers Army. Never like
Timbers Army showed up. The Portland Timbers did not.
The Portland Timbers did not. They did. They were the Timbers Army. They had the game on their calendar.
Yeah.
The Timbers did not.
And they're like, let the Army play. Let the Timbers Army play.
Look, this game ended 4-0. The Red Bulls, we were talking about this off air. Was it that the Red Bulls were good or that the Timbers were bad? I think a little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
Because
I think it's a lot more.
It's a lot. I think it's a lot more that the Timbers are really, really, really bad. This is my, the Christian Polanco eye test.
Yeah.
I got to say, Gio Savarese does not have a midfield that I think even knows each other's name. They don't. They have no chemistry whatsoever. I can't even. In the entire match, I'm just like, what is Sebastian Blanco doing?
Yeah.
Giving up the ball over and over and over. He just seemed uncomfortable. I felt like nobody knew exactly where to be, spacing.
How did Gio Savarese make last year's MVP look this lost out there? Valeri is doing everything he can.
Valeri looks like a shadow of your former self, right?
Yeah.
He I mean, he looks pretty.
Good job getting that out.
he looks absent in the game.
He also looks sad. He looks like he doesn't want to be a part. He wants to win. Don't get me wrong, but he doesn't want to be a part of losses like this. And also, you were saying Gio Savarese, what's he going to do with that midfield? I don't think he's going to have much say pretty soon, because I don't think. I mean, unless the owners, Merritt Paulson, is like, all right, look, we had to give away Nagby. We've got some issues. We're blah, 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 blah. You know, maybe this is a bit of a rebuilding for us, or maybe we'll make some changes in the summer when the summer transfer window opens. To be honest, I don't think so. I don't think Gio Savarese has got a long time in this job.
Sure.
Unless things change dramatically. If all he does is like, all right, we're going to move to a new format, 5-4-1, everyone back.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Timbers first half, they gave the one goal in the first half, and they looked fine. I mean, they look fine, at least defensively, like they weren't going to – it wasn't going to be just an absolute rout like that.
Yeah.
But they have no real – I mean, there's no cohesion. There's no real communication. There weren't any real, like, attacking threats. There were a couple here and there. Luis Robles made an amazing save after the header from – I forgot who it was. But – just another incredible. It felt Stephen Fry-esque, that one-handed dive.
And they did have most of the possession. They had most of the possession. The Timbers. I just feel like they don't know what to do with the ball when they have it.
Yeah,
it's not very functional. It gets lost in the midfield on the way from the midfield to the final third. And totally. Then when you get to the final third, they're like,
the loss of Nagby is like they don't know how to kind of adjust to that. Because who is it that? The midfielder that kind of has the ball. I think it's their DP, David Guzman.
Yeah.
He, another one who was like, seems like the leader on the team. He was taking a lot of touches. But outside of that, there's no, he, I don't know. It's just, they look bad. And that's very much clear. And it's making Diego Valeri look even worse. So, I mean, the Timbers have scored one goal in these two games and have generally looked really bad defensively. Gio Savarese, after the game, was talking about how it's so weird when coaches do this, when we're like, oh, we could have won this game if this and this and this happened. It's like, dude, it's 4-0. There wasn't any, there's no, read between the lines. There's no vagueness to this. Like, the team looks really, really bad defensively. And if you look at the first goal, our boy, Liam Ridgewell.
By the way, all the goals came from his side.
Look,
they did.
He looked really, really bad. I mean, he's the captain of the team. We can make fun of him. We already did.
Yeah. Where's that guy? Who's the dude with the ponytail? Where are you now?
Yeah, Jimmy Bullard.
Jim Bullard. Yeah, yeah, come on now. Make fun of him.
Yeah, this is the time to be making fun of
I'd love
Ridgie.
To see you defend yourself, defend anything at some point. You didn't defend on the field. You didn't defend when you were on the show. You didn't defend then. Now.
But that first goal, you see Liam Ridgewell pretty much give up the goal that...
just waltzing up.
Yeah, it was.
He looks over his shoulder and sees the players coming, and still does nothing about it.
Yeah, Vinton Bezecor scored that goal, just kind of embarrassing. Look, I know I was there, and the Timbers fans were just like, "I love that." They were awesome. They were so gracious, and thank you for the invite, Igor.
That was really cool. I wish I could have made it, but
Igor and Mark.
I was performing in South Jersey to.
Yeah,
really cool theater.
And I loved, my favorite thing about hanging out with Timbers Army was like there was clearly a lot of history, a lot of culture. You know, being NYCFC fans, we're just like, you know, one of our chants is the Barney anthem. You know, it's just like we're still figuring things out. We're getting there.
We got six chants.
But it was cool. There was clearly a lot of tradition, a lot of history. I love that their national anthem. They do during the national anthem. They think it's sort of ridiculous that there is a national anthem like during before soccer games.
Yeah.
So they like kind of tease it a little bit. During every beat of the national anthem, so like, oh, say, can you see? They all throw their scarves up and they go shh. And yeah. So it sounds like this ominous, like weird, like every couple seconds is the entire Timbers Army going shh.
That's pretty cool.
Shh. So it's like really, really
fun. I've
seen
it on TV. I didn't know they were doing the shush sound. That's awesome.
But look, they were still kind of optimistic, but knowing they're like, look, this is gonna be a rough year.
It's gonna be a rough one.
So
I do think there's a way to fix it. I think I don't know what you're doing. You got to put Fernando Adi in.
Yeah, he played the game.
He came in the 70th, I think. Mm-hmm. He came in for Sebastian Blanco.
Yes, that's right.
What are you doing, dude?
Look, Sebastian Blanco was a nightmare.
I get it.
He should have been out in the 30th minute.
Man, I get it, but you don't bring him in for a midfielder when you have no goddamn midfield.
Yeah.
You don't do it. You bring him in for the forward. That's it. Let him play hold up. Give Valeri a chance to move around. What is happening, Gio Severese? What is happening?
Hopefully they sorted it out, but they got some issues. All right, let's talk about a couple other games. And some people were talking last week about like, hey, you didn't talk about this team enough or that team enough. And also like, we don't have all the time in the world about all the games. But
I know we used to upload 4-hour episodes, but we don't have all the time.
We'll try our best to give. Like, we're not going to talk about every team every week. If we don't talk about your team, don't be mad.
But there are some really exciting teams out there and some exciting games. And I mean, look, you guys can get recaps of every game from every other podcast. We're trying to entertain you by talking about rubbing pig fat on people. I mean, come on.
But let's discuss a team that we didn't get too much time to talk about last week, Montreal Impact. Columbus.
Montreal,
l'Impact de Montreal. They...
I know you don't want us to talk about you this week.
Look, this game didn't look great for Montreal. Another team with a new coach that I think is also figuring out what their identity is. I think they're also looking to... I forgot the guy's name, but there's a new DP probably coming to the team.
Yeah, that's right. They mentioned the name, but I hold on.
So this game ended 3-2 for Columbus. Got all 3 points here, but this game was entertaining. But it's really more about how two things: how poor Montreal is at going forward. And how just defensively they clearly have some issues, but the fact that they were able to get Piatti finally showed a little bit of some of the brilliance that we're sort of used to seeing.
I mean, that's also what we've all known about. You know, I remember when we started talking about him, a lot of the Montreal fans went crazy because we said he was like the other Diego Valeri, or like I forgot what we called him. We called Nacho Piatti like the something really important on the team.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, a lot of the fans were like, yeah, if he was consistent at doing that, he would be that.
Yeah.
But he disappears from some time to time. Montreal does not have – Remy Gard does not have that luxury.
Yeah, I think that the identity of the team is kind of still sorting itself. I believe Blairem Jamali didn't come back to the team. So I think they signed Jason Vargas, if I'm not mistaken. But more than anything, I think the sort of pressure on Monteo Mancosu to be that guy is not really working out. I mean,
he's playing like Mancuso.
He's playing like Mancuso, which is that's no good. He got a goal the first game. He didn't get a goal this one. But I feel like the goals that Montreal did get were kind of required that like skill and brilliance, and not, it wasn't really like a team effort.
It was not a team effort. And look, I know there, but here's the thing, like as a coach, neither one of us, but what do? Do you say like, oh, we got to play it this way? Or you know what? We have some brilliance on the field. Let them play. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to take it away from them that they needed that brilliance because they have it on the field. Play.
Yeah.
Do it. But at the same time, you're 100% right. It's like, can you duplicate that week to week?
Yeah, they're having a couple problems. But the highlights of this game, which were pretty wild. I mean, the goal from Piatti was dope. The goal from Raheem Edwards is really what was like. I mean, it's incredible. Raheem Edwards coming from Toronto. He's like the homegrown player for Toronto, and he came in the game and very quickly got a goal. There was a cross from Lovitz.
From Lovitz. But the other guy, the second assist was Safir Taidero. He's one of their DPs.
Yeah, but I mean,
Bologna, I believe.
Absolutely brilliant goal. Just caught the ball in the air. Blasted it past Zach Steffen. Incredible. So you're like, oh, Raheem Edwards gets in this game, ties the game.
Mm-hmm.
props to this dude. Like, he's going to be like back, going to go back home like a little bit of like the hero.
For Jazzy's Artist, Golden Boot, potential Golden Boot winner.
Jazzy's Artist with, for whatever reason, I wanted to call him Zardy B. Anyway.
Please, can we start
let's
this?
Let's just do that, Zardy B. There was a, I forgot who got fouled, but Raheem Edwards, just a couple minutes after scoring that goal, like absolute maniac, two players go to defend the ball against the Columbus player that's going forward. It might have been Will Trapp. Raheem Edwards, I can't even tell if this was Raheem Edwards' fault, but it just looked really, really bad.
Yeah.
Trapp is cutting through some defenders. One defender sticks his leg out. Can't tell if he really gets contact. But Raheem Edwards stumbles into the box.
Right.
Trips over his own feet and then knocks over the player. It looked comical.
I remember seeing the replay. I'm pulling it up now so I could watch it again. But I just remember thinking to myself when I first saw it, it was like, stop falling. Get out of the way. Yeah. It just looked like, what are you doing? It looked like you saved a touchdown from being scored in the like a long pass.
Yeah.
Like it was frustrating to watch, especially after a great score.
But at first,
this is the most Montreal. This is Montreal Montrealing, isn't it? I mean, to some degree.
I mean, no. They I feel like they're a little bit more reliable than this. This was like a. I mean, because we know he's young, right? And that's probably what you know. Look, the play your kids debate always came up again. Shout out Bobby Boswell bringing that up again.
play them kids. I'm on it.
Some people. Well, he wasn't happy. Some people think like it's not that big a deal to make that to kind of play the younger players. But Raheem Edwards is an example of a young player with a lot of skill that was not given too much playing time in Toronto. So they want, you know, maybe felt like he needed to move on, or maybe Toronto felt like there wasn't really any space for him there. So he scores the goal. You're like, wow, these young players, they should play. Look at this.
They can't fuck this up after a goal like that.
Look at what they're capable of. Yeah. We should give them more time. And then just like...
And you're like, look at what they're capable
eight
of.
8 minutes later.
Get just off.
Like, he's stumbling all over his own feet, falling over other players, and losing the game for the team. So it was a shame. And it's difficult to... I can't just blame Raheem Edwards exclusively for that. I think it was poor defending on everyone's part, but it didn't help.
It doesn't help the argument.
Yeah.
Montreal still loses to Columbus 3-2. Jazzy's Artist with two goals, man. I mean, one of them's a penalty kick, but I mean, he would have missed that last year anyway. So shouts to him. There were two penalties on this. So that's something that can be cured.
Yeah.
You know, the giving up two penalties. That's something that can be cured. So let's say those two didn't exist. You have a 2-1 win with a monster goal. And a hell of a cross to our monster goal, adding Nacho Piatti being amazing. That's something positive that you can build on. And I don't think he's at risk of being fired. Someone who I do think is at risk of being fired is Mike Petke.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if we were going to talk. We don't have to talk about the whole game.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So LAFC, who's leading the supporters shield right now.
Diego Rossi, what did I tell you?
I mean, you just said he was Uruguayan, and you were like, well,
that's all you got to say. He was the captain of Peñarol.
But no, Diego Rossi does look really, really good. I mean,
him and Vela, name a better duo. I do it, please.
It's more than that. I mean, the team itself looks really, really good. Just surprisingly, you know, Bob Bradley, I think, especially with the players that he chose in the expansion draft. Yeah. The players that he took, I think, were perfect for the
Lateef Blessing looks great out there.
For the way they play, yeah.
They all seem to be, look, this whole team is structured around getting the ball to Vela. So here's the thing. If you watch some of those plays, Diego Rossi it seems like him and Vela have been playing for years together.
Yeah.
Because Diego Rossi is making these cuts that's like, you only make that, and maybe this is me talking about because I'd be gassed, and I was gassed trying to make some of these runs, but you would only make that
some
if
of the
you
runs
felt,
you were making during our game was just.
I was actually trying to run out of the. Trying to run back, but they kept pushing me
some
back.
Some of those jog walks that you were taking were.
It was a small field. I want everyone to know it was a very small field. But, you know, you have to have the confidence that you're going to be that person who has the ball at their feet is going to be able to get you the ball. I don't know that there's a lot of players in this league that can consistently do it the way that Carlos Vela seems to be able to do it. It's just what a fun team to watch. The other side of that is we talked about Red Bull Portland. Is it that Portland is that bad or Red Bull's that good? I think it's that Portland is a lot more bad than Red Bull is good. This one, I think it's the other way around. I don't think this is Real Salt Lake's fault. The issue, though, is this was Real Salt Lake's home opener, man.
Yeah.
And you get bratted 5-1.
Yeah.
LAFC right now, gulliest team.
Yeah, I don't get the feeling watching RSL that they don't necessarily look bad, but
I don't think they knew there was a game that day.
Yeah, especially with how LAFC won their first game 1-0, so it's not like they just humiliated 2-0. The Sounders, but they are 2-0. This game, they just like completely outplayed. I mean, they looked so much better. Who else? You know who else? Steven Betashore was amazing.
Yeah, Betashore looked like he was connecting passes.
They I think compared to
Phil Haber looked good.
Compared to the first first expansion year for NYCFC, where they were sort of similar, like a lot of MLS veterans.
Yeah, some MLS veterans, but terrible defending, some really great flair.
But the DPs were all just like basically there to sell tickets.
Yeah.
And this is not the case. I mean, this is young players.
Take that back, because I don't think Villa was there really to sell tickets. He's clearly I think he's the best DP signing of all time.
Okay, sure. Yeah. He sold a bunch of tickets too.
Of course he does.
He's not like he's not the Spain's greatest player.
True. And by the way, speaking of David Villa, we have some pretty cool news coming out at some point in the future. Look out for that. It's going to be a really, really huge honor for us.
Yeah, for whatever reason you're listening to this and you don't follow us on social media,
I suggest you do.
I suggest you do, because we got some big news coming up. So
really, really big news. All right. Really.
All right,
really
there's a couple
big things,
because we don't
also,
have to.
Also, we want to say shouts to Atlanta for finally winning. Oh, my God. The fan base was on edge. But listen, lost terribly the first week.
Yes.
And still got 72,000 out. And they boasted, they hoisted that the TIFO that said RIP, bad soccer.
Their TIFO was incredible.
There's a couple of TIFOs, but that one in particular, I think almost was pointed at me directly. Because a lot of people said it, but I said it. And I think I said it on this podcast, and if I didn't, I must have said it to you in person. I was afraid that if they lost the first game, that they were not going to be able to fill that Mercedes-Benz.
Just Mercedes-Benz with 12,000 people all of a sudden.
Well, terrible, terrible.
Just going to drop off.
Well, don't say that, because Columbus fans are listening. that's a good week for Columbus. I was not shocked. I was happy to be wrong. I'm so happy to see 72,000 people.
Again, broke another MLS attendance record.
It's just they're doing it all, and they're doing it with such swag, and it's fucking amazing.
Yeah,
you guys are great. And you beat the one team you couldn't beat last year.
Defeating.
You shamed.
MLS Giants, DC United.
Yamil Assad shamed in front of the home. I mean, one of my favorite things was watching Brillant trying to slide and clear the ball for that one of those goals.
Mm-hmm.
And the camera inside the goal gets his eyes perfectly. He's looking directly at it, and he's just like, oh.
Oh, boy.
That is a look of playing Atlanta last year, and it's back.
So good for them finally getting that monkey off their back.
And Barco wasn't even there.
Look, the big debate was getting Jeff Lorenowitz off of the back line and playing
defensive midfielder. And he went back to a three-man back line, which looks perfect
also,
for you guys.
Also, the homie, Julian Gressel, was spectacular.
Yeah, he was great.
He looked really, really good.
Yeah.
So good. Good on you, Atlanta, finally.
He deserves to be out there, man.
Getting that done. I did want to talk about, this will be the last game we talk about, because we don't have too much time. But Chicago and Sporting Kansas City had a goddamn thriller.
A back and forth. And by the way, Schweinsteiger looking like 23-year-old Schweinsteiger out there.
But he was cutting and nutmegging. But his hair is 72 years
old.
Yeah,
no, his hair is beyond. But, I mean, his legs, man, they were like, and Nicholas
with the brace.
My man.
That's Chicago Bay.
Baby.
talk about ravishing.
he was amazing. And his celebration, I don't know how old he is. I shouldn't know. That's my bae. But every time he scores, it's like, it looks like a kid has scored.
Yeah.
It is so infectious to watch.
He was very, very happy. But this game was surreal in that Sporting Kansas City.
This was punch for punch.
Punch for punch. Look, Chicago, it was their first game. They had a bye week, their first game.
Their first game, yeah.
So, home opener, they are down 2-0 pretty early. Kyrie Shelton starts this game. former NYCFC product, right?
Did well.
Did he did his best. He did all right.
He tried really hard.
I think, you know, Sporting Kansas City tried to give him a chance as, like, being that number nine, being that upfront guy. I don't know if it works too well yet. They have a lot to figure out. But Sporting Kansas City up 2-0. And then they get two goals, one from Nikolic and Katai. Alexander Katai, who's, I believe, a new player. I've not seen him before.
Yeah, I'm not 100. He spells his name A-L-E-K-S. So clearly someone from Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was great. He was incredible.
Really
he
good.
Looked really, really sharp. So a great addition to the team. But the fact there's still defensive issues for Chicago. And so that's a little bit to worry about. But
on that goal, Bastian Schweinsteiger, man, he made it all happen.
Yes.
Amazing touches, great cutting, getting to an angle, giving himself a chance.
Nutmegging Hesso
Well, he
Fernandez.
Went around, and as the player tried to recover, then he megs him, which is just double disrespectful. He runs in between the double coverage, the two players. I mean, all of it was just like, my God, if you are a fan of Sporting Kansas City, Kuzer must have just been throwing stuff all over the
which
place.
Which I'm sure he was at this game, right?
Yeah.
You know, to support the whole Kuzer family, I'm sure, was there.
Yeah, yeah.
But look, your team is up 2-0 away.
And they looked like they were running away with it.
They very much did. And then in a span of about like 15 minutes.
Yeah, from the 70th minute to the 86th minute, everything went to shit.
Chicago.
Everything went to shit.
Brought three goals. I mean, Dax McCarty headed the ball that Nikolic got for that. That was the second goal.
Yeah.
Which tied the game. And
is that the one that the goalkeeper parried?
And Nikolic was right at the line.
Yeah.
That's his home.
That's it.
Okay.
If I were Nikolic, if I would just stay there. Don't even come back and defend.
The front of the goal is Nemanja Nikolic's hometown. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where he is from.
He's listed on his passport.
Okay. All right. You were
8 yard box.
You merely adopted the goal line. I was born in it.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? then who gets the third goal?
Nemanja Nikolic, and then
Nikolic
gets the third goal for Chicago. Yeah.
To give him the lead. They're up 3-2. It's an 83rd minute.
That's the one Brandon Vincent makes that crazy pass, right?
They look great. All they got to do is hold on.
That's it.
And that's all. And
what could go wrong? 83rd minute shows up.
And I was watching this game, and after the game was over, I was thinking of a little jingle, because you know you have a very good relationship with Nemanja Nikolic, and
I was.
And then I was sorry. This is what I thought of. I came up with Alexis and Nico sitting in a tree. No. Alexis and Nico sitting on a lead. F-A-I-I-L-I-N-G. That's it. All right, everybody.
Hey.
I did it. How cute was that?
Not at all.
Pretty adorable.
Actually, that was pretty dope.
They lose this game because
am I failing as well?
They give up two goals after.
Miranda was just like, nah, I'm not letting this happen.
That, great goal from him, because he had another great chance that I think his name is Turn. I forgot the keeper's name for the new keeper's name for Chicago. But that he saved from Madranda. But the last goal that gave them the lead was absolutely beautiful. It was the one a pass into the box, and then the dummy. It was like I felt like there were. It seemed like there were like five players inside the box just passing in front of like the keeper, just having a good time. A pass to the middle, dummy, and then a goal from Felipe Gutierrez.
It was wild.
So an incredible scene. I feel bad for the Chicago Fire fans for losing in that kind of fashion. Because they had a rough playoff game, and they they made it to playoffs for the first time in a long time.
They gave up a calm though.
But yeah, exactly. But they look pretty good. So and given that they
have those chances
offensively, the fact that they're creating chances without Akam is a really good sign. And clearly, Alexander Katai is a decent replacement.
Absolutely, and look, if you're one of the Section 8 or some of the other fans, which one of their fans just followed us, I want to look it up real quick and just give them a shout out, because I think it's like a woman's group, so we followed them back up. But shouts to Chicago. Look, I mean, you don't have much to worry about. This is going to be a good team. Oh, they're called the CF97 Sirens. At CF97 Sirens. Check check them out. It's a group of like-minded women who support the Chicago Fire Soccer Club. How cool is that?
Yeah, exactly. And we were talking about, we'll end the show on this. We did go to the NYCFC home opener against LA Galaxy, and they did. They were pretty dominant, they I would say, for the most part. NYCFC, we were worried about them in the preseason, but they
saved it up.
They saved it. Yeah, they're formed. I mean, they're just like, it seems like no player is holding onto the ball for more than like a second or 2 seconds.
No.
They're really getting passes through and really confusing defenses,
yeah.
Right? So they got another win.
Tinnerholm looks incredible. What a great find.
What a great goal. Somebody did, I forgot who it was. Somebody just asked us if we could do a Tinnerholm impression. She's like, I don't know.
I have to. Well, let's watch the...
We got
to
watch it.
Yeah, maybe we'll do
it. I mean, he's Swedish. He just has like a very Swedish accent. But like, it's not a comical Swedish. It's like, he's like trying to speak English.
Yeah, he's not blurring. He's not doing one of those.
He's not that. So, yeah. I mean, we'll...
not just yelling at IKEA products.
We'll watch more interviews than you really get. Yeah. and sort it out. I don't know if it's just offensive to do it. We'll try our best.
What, a Swedish person is going to be offended? I dare you to say that.
So, NYCFC looked great against LA Galaxy. But yeah. Before the game, it was pretty cool. NYCFC and Mark Frado, friend of ours, he's the stadium announcer at Yankee Stadium for NYCFC games. And NYCFC did highlight and focus on Rachel Mintz, who was the creator of City Celeste at City Celeste.
Another
women's supporters group for NYCFC. And
in the offseason, she passed away with cancer. Unfortunately, she lost her battle with cancer, but they honored her. The fans honored her with a TIFO, which was really nice.
Yeah.
A jersey with her name on it, draped across the seats where she would have stood. And the team announced it, which I was walking into the stadium as that happened. And I remember feeling like really, really proud of the team for saying that. You know, they said that she was a fan since day one.
Yeah.
And, you know, they gave a little rundown of what she did. And, you know, she supported them and in her, you know,
she
in her passing.
She was always great. Yeah, I don't know if you met her. I met her.
I met her a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah. She was always really, really nice and really supportive.
Really supportive of what we do. And yeah, I know we brought it up on the podcast already when she did pass, but that was really, really cool of NYCFC, and it was really cool of Mark Ferrato.
Yeah, so if you're an NYCFC fan and you want to even join City Celeste, just follow them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a cool thing to be, you know, just to be more inclusive and to focus on the female support for soccer. Because, you know, we're all into this, and
it's awesome,
and it'd be a good thing in her honor. So
thank you so much.
So
that's it.
That is the end of the show, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening. This has been a blast. I mean, I love talking this stuff with Christian, and you know, I remember when he said that I was a 9 out of 10 at soccer, which was really cool. My name is Alexis Guerreros.
Yes, that's completely accurate. My name is Christian Polanco.
Together, what are we?
The Cooligans.